Welcome to Mainstream Mormonism with Bishop Lee Baker of Witnesses for Jesus Ministry. As a former high priest in the Mormon Church and now a Christian, Lee will each week discuss the Word of God and how it contrasts with the teachings of Mormonism. We welcome your calls. To join the live discussion, call 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Now here's your host, Lee Baker.
Welcome to the program. It is a beautiful day here in Central California, and I understand it's a beautiful day in Utah as well. I wanted to let you know that Kathy and I will be in Utah speaking publicly on June 18th in Roy, Utah, I believe it is. And we have a program. We're going to be there for a couple of days, the Wasatch
Cowboy Church. We'll be meeting at the Roy Baptist Church, and it will be Saturday the 18th. And you can go to our website on our calendar on Live and Upcoming under Radio Events, and you can check on June 18th, and all the details are there.
It's going to be awesome. The Cowboy Church out there is just so friendly, so open. Brothers and sisters, we have a little different program for you today. We're going to turn three-quarters of the program over to you today. 45 minutes will be yours. I have a couple of things I want to talk about in the first segment here, and then at the end of my discussion, we will open it up to callers, because I really want to put this particular subject to rest. The question today is, did sex motivate Joseph Smith? Now, this program, we're going to discuss polygamy and polyandry and wife swapping within the Mormon Church and among the leadership of the Mormon Church, but really, I would love it if this would be the closing chapter, the last time that on this program we talked about this deception and move on to bigger and better things, because it is an important subject, but it has been beaten to death. Anyone on the planet who thinks that the way Joseph Smith managed polygamy and swapped wives with his friends and leaders in the church, if you think that's fine, then this is absolutely the wrong program for you. So before we get started, I wanted to let you know that for any caller who calls in today, you get your choice of a free book. Either Mormonism, A Life Under False Pretenses, or Jailed for Teaching the Gospel of Jesus Christ in America. Now, I have just finished last week an update of Mormonism, A Life Under False Pretenses. It's for sale now. Not only has it been updated, but we reduced the price so we could finish our bills. We were $2,000 short on our legal bills, and partly because of that, we are reducing the price of the book to $14.50. Now, donations are always accepted, and we very much appreciate that and consider that a blessing. But just to want to let you know that the Basic Mormonism book, that's about 6 years old now, I have upgraded it, updated it, and reduced the price.
And it's called Second Edition. And it has a different cover. It just has a picture of the temple on it. And so it is different. So you can differentiate between the two. It's the Second Edition of Mormonism, A Life Under False Pretenses.
So this is 370 pages of the story of how Kathy and I came out of the church, and it's been upgraded and updated a little bit to include the church essays as well. And that's going to be one of the central themes today. So be prepared to call for the rest of the program. But let me ask you if we could end the discussion on polygamy. I will present some facts from the Mormon Church, and I'll give you some of my opinions, and you'll know the difference because I'll tell you my opinion as a former bishop in the Mormon Church. So I'll take the first 10-15 minutes, and then I'm going to turn it over to you, and hopefully people will call if you have any thoughts that are different than what we present here. If you have some integrity that you want to defend Joseph Smith, please go ahead and do that. So for the rest of the 45 minutes, it's your option to call in and impose my views. Now, if it's okay with you, I would rather not take callers who agree with my position. I would rather take callers who want to defend Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, because I believe he was not a faithful husband. I do not believe that he was a good example of a human being, a man, a father, or a leader in the church. If you disagree with that, please call and let me know. So, if you would like totally free airtime for your case to be presented to all of Utah, and then tomorrow it gets posted on our web, you get the whole world. Bring facts, opinions, whatever it is. I am giving up $350 per hour of this radio program for you. So the core subject, hopefully we can stay on task.
And that's what it cost us. We don't make that kind of money. That's what it costs to air this program. It's not free. We have to pay to be on the air.
Oh, yeah. That's true. We've gotten emails in the past where people think that we've made money off the book, not a dime. dime. We make money off the radio program, not a dime. We lose money every single month.
It's your contributions that help us keep this radio program on the air.
Absolutely. So the subject today is, I believe that Joseph Smith and his development, management, and cover-up of polygamy is really wife-swapping. So polygamy involves the marriage of more than one, you know, partner under a broader category, you know, that we've come to know. But more specifically, the form of polyandry that I want to talk about is when one woman takes more than one husband at the same time. And it's probably better if we don't call that polyandry. Let's just use it what it really is. And that's called wife swapping. Wife swapping. When a sister in the church goes home with her husband, and then 2 days later goes home with Joseph Smith, that's not right. That's why I want to get rid of this subject. I would like to talk to more spiritual issues and bring you the word of Christ, but it seems like we can't get over this because people call and they say, you're lying, you're lying, you're lying. That's because they have not read the statements from the First Presidency and the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. So it's my position and my belief that Mormonism, and specifically polygamy within Mormonism, is wife swapping. It is part of that foundation that I have said for years now, that it is lying for the Lord. So let's pull out the rule book within the Mormon rule book and the revelation from God, or at least the Mormon God, to Joseph Smith on polygamy. How was it supposed to be practiced? We're going to use several different Mormon-only documents to kind of put a fence around what he believed, or what he told people, was polygamy. Doctrine and Covenants, section 132, verse 63 says,
"For they are given unto him to multiply and replenish the earth and to bear the souls of men."
So what was the purpose of polygamy? The purpose of polygamy was to multiply and replenish the earth.
Yeah, and Jacob chapter 2, verse 30 says, "For if I will, saith the Lord of hosts, raise up seed unto me, I will command my people," polygamy, "otherwise they shall hearken unto these things," monogamy.
Okay, so raise up seed and replenish the earth is to procreate, to have babies, right? Isn't that right?
Definitely. So that's what it's saying.
So the point of polygamy was to increase the population of the Mormons.
So, and he married between 12 and 14 women, as stated in the footnotes of the Mormon Church essays.
Who were already married.
Yes.
So out of the nearly 40 that he had, the whole point of even taking a single one, much less someone who's already married and has children, was to multiply and replenish here. So the argument that people call, like Bob and others, and they say, well, we don't know that he had sex with them. That was the purpose, brothers and sisters. The whole purpose, the point, the function of polygamy was to procreate, to multiply and replenish the earth. So if we could...
And even Brigham Young, he said that.
Oh,
he
yeah.
He said, this is the reason why the doctrine of plurality of wives was revealed, so that the noble spirits which were waiting for tabernacles might be brought forth. That's in Discourses of Brigham Young, page 305.
So why aren't the phones lit up right now? Because you have an ex-bishop and his wife quoting to you Mormon doctrine, Mormon scriptures about how polygamy was supposed to be run, and you know in your heart it wasn't done that way. What can you say to us? Why would you even call when we're quoting Doctrine and Covenants, the Book of Mormon, Jacob chapter 2, and the Discourses from Brigham Young, and they all say exactly the same thing. The reason you take another wife is to have babies. So what was the purpose? Now, for the rest of the program, even when you call in at the second part of the program, if you would use, and I will use, Elder Marvin J. Ashton's comment. He's an apostle. In General Conference, he described to the Mormon Church and to the world, and this is beautiful, this should be a t-shirt, what a lie is. What is a lie? And the reason we're bringing this up is because the last email I got from Bob, he said that I speak often about lying for the Lord. And I try to say that the church leadership lies for the Lord. They lie for the Lord. They lie about everything. And you're right, Bob. I do say that. And the reason I do say that, you will understand today, because the church does lie. Now, here is what an apostle of the Mormon Church says is a lie. And we're going to evaluate today as an adult. Does the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints lie to its members? And this is what a lie is. Quote,
It says, a lie is an untrue statement made with the intent of deceiving. A lie can be effectively communicated without words ever being spoken. A lie is the failure to divulge all pertinent facts.
Oh, this is beautiful. So all we are doing is quoting Mormon scripture, Mormon documents, Mormon doctrine, and Mormon prophets and apostles, and it sounds like that the church has been lying. In Doctrine and Covenants, section 132, Kathy's going to read what the three rules were. If a person was going to take, under the authority of God, take more wives, these are the three rules, and it's called the law of the priesthood. So again, the reason you don't call here is because you're scared as a priesthood leader that you can't defend your own faith. And we are calling you to repentance today, brothers and sisters, because it is clear. And I don't want to discuss this subject again. It's nasty. It's embarrassing for your professors, your fathers, your grandfathers, and your priesthood holders to call this program and say, well, we don't know if Joseph really slept with that woman. Oh, please.
Yeah, and let me go ahead and read this. So from Doctrine and Covenants, section 132, verse 61, these are the three laws of the priesthood written by the hand of Joseph Smith as revelation from God. Amazing the contradictions, that the first one was that the first wife had to give her consent, the second had to be a virgin, and third vowed to no other men. Joseph Smith broke all three laws of that, and we'll talk about it on the other side of the break.
Welcome back to Mainstream Mormonism. Join the conversation. Just call 866-34-TRUTH. Here's your host, Lee Baker.
Welcome back to the program. And again, 45 free minutes on air in Utah. Now, I can't believe that there's not a good sister in the church or a priesthood holder in the church that can't pick up the phone and dial 866-348-7884 to discuss whether or not Joseph Smith and the church was lying and is still lying about polygamy and polandry. We will go back now to the Doctrine and Covenants, section 132.
Verse 61, and again, as pertaining to the law of the priesthood, if any man espouse a virgin and desire to espouse another, and the first give her consent, and if he espouse the second, and they are virgins, and have vowed to no other man, then he is justified. He cannot commit adultery, for they are given unto him. For he cannot commit adultery with that that belongeth unto him and to no one else. That was from Doctrine and Covenants, Mormon scripture, and Joseph Smith broke all three of those laws. He married women that were not virgins. Emma did not know of all of the wives. It even says it within the church essay that she didn't know of all of his wives, and they were married to other women, and some were not virgins.
Not only were they married to other men, they had children. Can you picture this, you sisters in the church? Joseph Smith proposes to and takes the wife of another man with six kids at home. And you're telling me that that is the will and the mind of God? I don't think so. So as we move forward, and again, we are now offering you free airtime, 36,000 plus people listening to your voice. Come and defend the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You can use whatever documentation you want to. We're using the scriptures. We're using the gospel doctrine. We are using information that has been approved and printed by the First Presidency of the Church. If I move outside of that realm, because I will talk from Todd Compton's book, In Sacred Loneliness.
And you do have a caller.
I'll let you know. We got a caller. Go
yes.
For it.
Okay, we have Bob on the line. So, Bob, go ahead. You're on the air.
We're ready, Bob. Why, Bob gets a new line. Let me ask you, why is it Bob that always calls back? Bob is a great man. He's an educated man. He graduated BYU in 1986. He's a smart man. Robert Bryan is a smart man. But why is he the only one? And let's see how well he does.
Even in the Book of Mormon, it talks about that polygamy is abominable before the Lord in the Book of Mormon. And then Joseph Smith changes that later in Doctrine and Covenants. So Jacob chapter 2, you'll have to read from your Book of Mormon.
Yeah, and
there.
It's never been changed in the Book of Mormon. But what's interesting, in the church, they changed the heading, didn't they, Kathy? They changed the heading from polygamy is bad to Oh, yep. Unauthorized polygamy is bad. So who gave the church authority to change the heading of the scriptures? Have you ever wondered that?
Yeah, and while we're waiting for Bob to call back, actually, an older version of the Book of Mormon, it says plurality of wives forbidden because of iniquity in the older version of the Book of Mormon. In today's version, it says that Jacob condemns the unauthorized practice of plural marriage.
Unauthorized
practice of plural marriage.
Let's go to the gospel topics.
Okay, sure.
I want the audience to know that the statements from the First Presidency really support the foundation for this radio program, much more than people believe. Within the gospel topic essays, it gives instructions to the membership of the church on how to read the topics, how to read the essays, and how to seek out information. They actually quote Doctrine and Covenants, section 88, verse 118, and it says, specific to finding information outside of the scriptures. The church says this is more than a simple exhortation to learn about the gospel. It is an invitation from the Lord to recognize that not all sources of knowledge are equal or reliable. Quote, seeking out of the best books does not mean seeking only one set of opinions, but it does require us to distinguish between reliable sources and unreliable sources. So it sounds like the First Presidency is asking you to seek outside opinions and to read information from the best books. They want you to get smart. That is from the First Presidency. So the book In Sacred Loneliness from Todd Compton, this is the Plural Wives of Joseph Smith, was awarded the Book of the Year from the Mormon History Association. I think that qualifies as maybe one of the first books just to get an opinion from.
And we do have Bob back on the, but go ahead and finish your thought.
Okay,
and then
the thought within the gospel topic essays, this is the First Presidency to you. It says coverage on the gospel topic essays, quote, listen to this from the First Presidency, and you tell me this, if this is not a lie. Much of what you will find in the essay on polygamy has been published in diverse sources and known among long-term as well as well-read historians and church leaders for many years.
It also says well-read members.
So are you telling me that the information you now know is more than what his own wife knew? You know more about Joseph Smith's plural marriages than his wife, and that's supposed to be common? Okay, go ahead, Bob.
Is it better this time?
Yes. Yeah, you're clear. You're clear.
Okay. So, I don't know exactly where you want to start. I think contextually, the big question is does God command polygamy under certain circumstances?
Okay.
And in the Bible, we have the case of David, where the prophet Nathan speaking in the first person for Jehovah specifically said that Jehovah not only gave him his wives, but would have given him more if they had been insufficient. And so there are situations.
Were any of those women married to another man?
Simultaneously, I mean, they're all the big batch of them were actually Saul's wives from King Saul, who was killed, and then all of his possessions, his wives, etc., were given to David, and so the vast majority of them had been previously married to Saul.
They weren't married at the time because Leviticus chapter 18 says that that's a sin.
Yeah, so there's a lot. You make a lot about the polyandrous marriages, mm-hmm. and there's somewhere between 14. Maybe 14 of the, depending on the number, call it 34, 35 wives of Joseph Smith.
The church says 40. Okay.
Not living. There weren't 40 wives during Joseph Smith's lifetime, for sure.
The essay says 30 to 40, that he was married. They don't know the exact number. They said between 30 and 40.
Yeah, well, that's fine. Those are details not to really fight about, because Todd Compton says 33. Brian Hale says 34.
And the church, the first presidency, let's go with the first presidency, and they say 30 to 40.
Okay. Well, again, so these numbers all fall right within that. But the point is that out of those, at most there was about, according to Brian Hales, who researched all this, there was 14 women that were polyandrous. And some of those women, their husbands actually attended the weddings with Joseph Smith, the feeling. Mm-hmm. Out of all of those women, there may be Sylvia Sitchin's Lyons is probably the only one that could be considered a polyandrous wife in the sense of Joseph Smith having relations with her, family relations with her.
And okay, Bob, when you use the phrase the only one, does the only one make it okay? Does Leviticus chapter 18 fade away if it's only one?
Sure it does. If God okay. commands, it's okay. I mean, God said, thou shalt not kill, and he wiped out the Canaanites. You know, I mean, so God can give a commandment that supersedes an earlier commandment. He's, you know, that's his sovereign will. He can do that.
Have you read Moroni chapter 8, verse 18?
God changes not?
Yes.
Is that what we're saying?
Yes, that's what we're saying.
This isn't a characteristic of God changing. God can change his mind.
You bet.
I mean,
he can.
We see that. We see that in the Bible all over. I mean, for you know, we have the covenant of circumcision, and then that's done away with in the New Testament. Did God change, or did you know
something
I mean,
was fu- so something God, was fulfilled, Bob? I think a covenant was fulfilled. So
well, so in Leviticus. Well, no, that's a great point, and I agree with you. And in and what's being described in Leviticus is administration of marriage under the Aaronic priesthood, not under the Melchizedek priesthood.
Okay.
And so
we want to pause for just a minute. I would like to build on what Bob's saying, and in a minute, Bob, I'm going to ask you if you believe that all of the marriages that Joseph Smith partook in or the sealings were the will of God. But I want to build back on the foundation that you charged me with a couple of weeks ago, and you said that I'm always talking about, you know, that the church is built on lies, and polygamy is just an example of that. I would now like to read the 1835 version, that which was of the Doctrine and Covenants, which was printed from 1835 to 1876, section 101, verse 4. And this is a statement that says that the church does not practice polygamy when, in fact, they did. It's a short statement. I'll just get through this, and you tell me if you feel that this is a lie or not. Inasmuch as this Church of Christ has been reproached with the crime of fornication and polygamy, we declare that we believe that one man should have one wife and one woman but one husband, except at the case of death, when either is at liberty to marry again. Now, thousands of people joined the church based on that statement. Was that a lie?
In 1835, it absolutely was true. In 1835, no one in the church was practicing polygamy, including Joseph Smith.
In 1835, okay. Now, that was read in 1841 in London by John Taylor. At the time he read that, he had eight wives. Could you tell me if that was a lie?
John Taylor didn't have eight wives in 1841. He hadn't married any plural wives at that point. That's not true. That's not a true statement.
I thought you were a Mormon, Bob. I mean, come on. So you're telling me that from 1835 to 1876, that's a true statement?
No, that's not what we said. You asked in 1835.
Okay. We'll talk to Bob right after the break.
Welcome back to Mainstream Mormonism. Here's your host, Lee Baker.
Welcome back to the program. We're going to let Bob answer that basic question just before we left on a break. And the question is this. In the second volume of the History of the Church, which you can find in your library there at the Stake Center, and that would be on page 247. This is the History of the Mormon Church, Volume 2, page 247. This is August of 1835. And also in the reprint of the Doctrine and Covenants, section 101, verse 4, 1835 to 1876, the statement is made that the church does not practice polygamy. And I'm asking Bob, would you consider that a lie from 1835 to 1876? It says the church does not believe in polygamy. Do you think that was a lie?
From 1835 until 1841, there was nobody in the LDS Church practicing polygamy.
Joseph Smith? That's
the truth. Yeah. Joseph Smith was Fanny Alger. If you designate Fanny Alger as the first plural wife of Joseph Smith, she left the church in 1835, and they stopped practicing that, and he ceased practicing polygamy. And so from 1835 until 1841, Joseph Smith, nor anyone else in the church, was practicing polygamy. The introduction of that section 101 was because there were sort of exotic religious groups around the country that would do sort of their version of the United Order, and they would practice free love, the sort of hippie movement.
Oh, yeah, we don't want people free loving and sharing wives and stuff. Okay, Bob, I will readjust the question for those down in St. George so they'll understand this better. Bob, from the year 1841 to 1876, this statement was in print that the church did not practice polygamy, but the church really did. Would you consider that a lie from 1841 to 1876?
Again, no, and I'll explain why. Well, first of all, the date on John Taylor, by the way, was he didn't have a plural wife until December 12th, 1843. That was when he first took a plural wife. So there was 2 years. If 1841 was your date, then there was 2 years where he wasn't a practicing polygamist. Okay. But from 1841 until 1876, the church did not publish a new edition. Well, in 1844, the church published a new edition of the Doctrine and Covenant. In 1852, they announced polygamy to the world and effectively published the fact that they were doing plurality. There was no secret. It was, in fact, President Lincoln actually ran on on his platform of the Twin Towers of barbarianism, slavery and polygamy. So everybody knew what the Mormons were doing from 1852 onward. So we were really now focusing on the period between 1841 and 1852.
Why 1852? No, polygamy didn't start in 1852.
That's when Orson Pratt publicly
made it public
from the pulpit that the church was practicing polygamy.
Hey, but Bob, I don't want to put you on. Just listen to this.
Sure.
Audience, I want you to understand what Bob is doing. We are now backed up to 1852. Guess who's dead by now? Joseph Smith is dead by now. Joseph Smith died in June of 1844, and the church says he has 40 wives. So, brothers and sisters, this is an excellent dance from Bob, but we are saying that Joseph Smith, in fact, practiced polygamy, and he's honored for it. And now Bob's trying to tell us, but it really wasn't polygamy. Could you explain that one to me, Bob?
No, I never said he absolutely. So the evidence, again, there's two ways you can approach this polemically and just say it's absolutely.
I'm asking you as a man. Did Joseph Smith?
I'm also a scholar about this stuff, and I try to.
All right,
not give answers that are wrong.
Okay,
And so, the answer to the question is that the evidence. There's no firsthand account. We have affidavits from, I believe it's 9 women, but we believe that there's probably 12 women that had, carnal knowledge, had sexual relations with Joseph Smith, sexual relations with Joseph Smith. And out of those, out of that 40 women, 28 were not sexual in nature. What were they? They were these sealing ordinances that were well known.
How many did you say did have sex with him? I want to keep track of this. Nine.
12.
You say nine?
12. I said 12. No,
okay,
I said 12.
So 12 had sex with Joseph Smith. So 12 had sex with Joseph Smith.
That's the best estimate because there's no record of it, and we only have...
Well, the record is from the women themselves. Let me ask you this, Bob.
We have 9 of those records.
Okay, so nine. But we're still not concerned with Joseph doing that. Well, let me ask you, if the high school principal down in American Fork was playing this game with the student cheerleaders and he was dating 22, but he only had sex with 9, would you have the same attitude?
So the high school principal is not the prophet of the Lord. And when I'm sure that the Egyptians could make the same point about Moses. Are you really going to follow a murderer? And, you can, if you look at it from a strictly secular standpoint, then you can make an argument that sounds outrageous. But when you look at it from a spiritual standpoint,
okay, Bob,
Does God have the ability to command as a prophet?
You bet. You bet he does. Bob, and I would like you, as a scholar of the church, could you repeat to me the 12th article of faith?
We believe in being subject to the laws of the land, that one?
Well, yeah, it actually goes, we believe in being subject to kings, presidents, rulers, and magistrates in obeying, honoring, and sustaining the law. Is that particular article of faith put in neutral sometimes?
So I guess, you know, yes, sometimes John,
okay.
Peter and John said it's better to follow God than to follow man, right? When
okay.
They were beaten for preaching Christ. So,
right. And Bob's so doing a great job. Hold on. Bob's doing a great job. We're now going to switch to an entirely different subject, and I am going to stick with the same thread, the same subject of lying, building the church upon lies. Now, this is a different subject, Bob, but hang on with me right here. I want to ask you if this is a lie. In the church essay that talks about the second manifesto, the manifesto that ended plural marriage, there's a essay called The Manifesto and the End of Plural Marriage. Now, as a scholar in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, you know for a fact that the first manifesto, the 1890 manifesto, is canonized. Is that true?
True.
The second manifesto, the 1904 manifesto, is not canonized. Is that true?
That's true.
Okay. The essay from the church tells us that the second manifesto, I'm on page 7 right now, the second manifesto was a watershed event. It says, quote, for the first time, church members were put on notice that new plural marriages stood unapproved by God and the church. Wasn't that the function of the first manifesto, which is canonized?
No, that was, I mean, the first manifesto was to outlaw entering into plural marriages in the United States because it assiduously avoided talking about in other parts of the world. And so there was a number of exceptions that were being granted that President Smith, with the second manifesto, just absolutely outlawed.
Right.
So the first one was to stop polygamy in the U.S. And,
okay,
and
so you're telling me that
getting
yes,
go ahead.
Yes, Bob. But the church records and this essay say that there were multiple plural marriages executed by the church between 1890 and 1901 in the United States.
Yes.
Okay, so you just
multiple. I mean that number, that multiple number, is not very big number. I mean, it's
no. I completely
12,
understand.
But it's
Bob.
But in some of those, what we don't
Bob.
Know. Is, so
don't
I mean,
make me put you on mute.
Setting.
He's on mute.
Okay,
Bob's on mute for a little bit right here because he's not going to let me ask the question. Now, Bob, when you come back, I want you to answer this question. He just admitted that the manifesto that is canonized, that means real, and it's in your scriptures, brothers and sisters, the 1890 version, was supposed to stop plural marriages in the United States. It didn't. But it is canonized. It makes you think that's the real thing. The essay from the church leader says that the 1904 essay, for the first time, told church members that they could not enter any more plural marriages. That is a lie. Bob, what is your response?
So historically, we know that there were still some marriages after 1890, but it's unclear whether it was with the permission of the president of the church. And the essay, by the way, also says that.
That's right. There seems to be a whole... Hold
you
on.
You do have a second caller, too. So
there seems to be a whole lot of things that are unclear. So my point
sure.
is, I consider... Get ready to go on mute if you don't. Hold on. I'm asking you one more time. The essay says, for the first time, church members were put on notice that new plural marriages stood unapproved by God and the church. That was the function of the 1890. When I was a bishop, my stake president told me it ended in 1890. He looked at me and he said, Brother Baker, you have that in your scriptures. And now 6 years later, you casually tell me that the record is unclear, and here the essay says, no, the 1904 one really did it. Brothers and sisters, this is not a small issue. You got 5 seconds, Bob.
Okay, Bob.
I agree. I agree with what you're saying. That,
so is that, it a lie? I'm asking you, can you say yes or no? Is it a lie?
No, it's not a lie. When your stake president is not a historian, and he doesn't. He may or may not understand the history.
In the church essay, Bob, in the church essay, it says, for the first time, church members were put on notice.
I've agreed with you on that. So, I don't know why you're getting agitated, because I agree with you. That was the first time that it was laid down completely worldwide for all purposes.
I think it's a lie.
1903 was the ceasing point for all plural marriage, period. In fact,
okay. Next caller. Bob, it's been great talking to you.
Bob, thank you so much. We're going to try to catch this next caller before we go on a break. So we have another Bob. Bob, Bob number two. Go ahead. You are on the air.
Bob number two.
Hi.
Hey, Bob, give us a little background on you so we make sure that we know the difference between Bob 1 and Bob 2. Where are you from? How long you been a member, and what do you do today?
I'm from everywhere, and I've been a member since the 60s. I'm a convert, and I've been to about every kind of church there is, so I know about every kind of church there is.
Are you currently a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints?
Yeah, I'd gotten so with the other churches that I even was looking at Eastern religions because of the confusion. I'll give you an example. Somebody wrote a book who was studying religions, and he wasn't a Mormon back when. Okay. He said, there are roughly 500 different Christian religions just in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Hey, Bob, we're going to try to get you back on track after the break. How about that? Hold on for just a second.
Mainstream Mormonism. Call with your questions at 866-34-TRUTH. Here again, Bishop Lee Baker.
Welcome back to the program. We are really trying to move forward here. Bob, number two, what is your comment or question?
Well, I just been exposed to multiple religions. I've either attended or belonged
to Bob,
different
Bob, we're not talking... Bob, that's great. We're not talking about your history or your background. We are now asking you, what question or comment do you have relative to Joseph Smith and the practice of polygamy and whether or not the church has been lying about it? Any comment on that?
Well, yes. I don't know. I know you keep saying that the women said that they had had intimacy with Joseph Smith, but the thing that's interesting, I think his wife was pregnant something like 7 or 8 different times, but how many children did he have with these women that he had in the polygamous situation?
At least one.
He did? Where?
That would be...
Patty Sessions' daughter.
Yeah. Name is Josephine.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, Sylvia Sessions' daughter was Josephine.
Okay, how many does it take? How many does it take for him to be kind of a bad man?
And for him to have broken
Dr. It's interesting that so far the DNA never proved out to be with her.
Bob, have you read the Doctrine and Covenants?
Yes, I've read a number of books, and I've traveled all over the world.
Well, that's great. I don't care if you've been to Cancun, Bob. The Doctrine and Covenants says that he's not supposed to marry another man's wife. How do you get around that?
All right. My question is, how many children did he have so far?
Okay, we're going to move on, and what I'd like to do is I'd like to end the program with a little bit of facts. We're not going to ask how many children had, but brothers and sisters in Utah, I'm asking you to consider the priesthood members who stand and defend your church. The defense has been thus far by the Holy Melchizedek priesthood. Well, that's not too many women. And where are the babies from this? Are you kidding me? You sisters should hang your head in shame if these are the men that you follow and these are the best you got to call this radio program and say, well, how many did he really sleep with? Because 9 out of 12 ain't a big deal. You disgust me. I got to tell you that on air. Listen to this true story. In the April General Conference, 2000 General Conference, Sister Carol B. Thomas gave a talk on integrity. Brothers and sisters, at that time, Sister Thomas was the first counselor in the Young Women General Presidency. The Young Women General Presidency. She gave a talk about integrity. She used Joseph Smith as the example of a good husband, a trustworthy man. Can you imagine what we're talking about right now? And she was telling the young women of the church that Joseph Smith is your target? You should be disgusted. So here's the problem. I questioned why she would stand behind Joseph Smith after the church essays said that even Emma did not know of all of Joseph Smith's wives. I put that comment on her Facebook. She made a comment on the Young Women's Facebook, and I tagged onto it, and I asked President Thomas, how can you defend Joseph Smith after what we know what he did? Well, one of my daughters saw that posting and called me a predator. Think of what it has done to your minds. Where I am describing the disgusting things that Joseph Smith did, it is then referenced by the general presidency of the Young Women's Organization because he's supposed to be a good man, and I'm the one considered a predator. Brothers and sisters.
Even Zena Huntington, she said that she could not be considered an honorable woman again because Joseph took her as a multiple wife when she was already married to her current living husband.
Kathy's right. That's in the church essay. Do you get this? Do you understand the type
Zena Huntington Jacobs.
Do you understand the type of church you are in? The first presidency had to dip down, even to give Joseph some kind of integrity. He mentions the fact that one of his multiple wives, she considers herself a dirtbag because of what she has done. It's incredible. Let me recap some of the activities of Joseph Smith from the church records. 1843 was a very busy year for Joseph Smith. He married 25 women. In 1843, he proposed to William Law's wife. That's his second counselor in the first presidency. Is this getting through to anybody? Jane Law told her husband, William Law, second counselor to Joseph Smith, hey, Joseph stopped by for the second time, and he wanted to marry me. William Law got a little upset, and he leaves the church, starts a newspaper, and the church says, oh, he's an apostate. He's an apostate? Because Joseph came on to his wife? Give me a break. This detail is in the book we have referenced in Sacred Loneliness. And before Bob calls back, I want to tell you, it's very important that you understand that the Mormon History Association in 1998 gave that book Best Book of the Year, Todd Compton in Sacred Loneliness, 788 pages of filth. And it says that it is excellent in study, research, scholarship, and detail.
And it's the diaries of Joseph Smith's wives.
And those statements and that award was given by the chairman of the board, Professor B.H. Hayes, happens to be a history teacher at BYU. Really, 25 women in 1 year? And then to top it off, he proposes to his second counselor's wife. Brothers and sisters, you got to understand, I'm only picking out a few of them. One of the saddest stories ever is William Law, Joseph Smith's second counselor, was on a mission in Canada. He converts a whole family of the Lawrences. In that family are two young teenage daughters, Sarah and Maria. When they get back to the United States, they move after they join the church. Their parents die. Joseph Smith becomes their legal guardian. What does Joseph Smith do after that? He marries them so he could manage their estate. Now, what I want you to understand, in 1843, when Joseph Smith marries 25 and he adds the two sisters to his harem, that's the same time where he makes the famous statement, how embarrassing, how wrong it is that people accuse him of committing adultery and having seven wives when he can only find one.
And I had never made that connection before.
Holy
I didn't
smokes.
Realize Joseph made that statement when he is questioned because of trying to take William Law's wife.
Yeah. So not only is he trying to take his second counselor's wife, this is the year that he marries 25. Two of those are sisters, and he has the cojones to say, I can only find one. That is on page 476. Not only is that in church history, that's on page 476 of the book.
Volume 6 church history. But I also wanted to say, in the Bible, it says that a man should not marry a mother and a daughter, and that he should not marry sisters. And here Joseph married mothers, daughters,
Wait,
and he married sisters.
Kathy, what do you mean mothers and daughters? Oh, yes, that's right. How about on March 9th, 1842, Joseph Smith marries Patty Sessions. Then, only a few months later, he marries Patty Sessions' daughter by the name of Sylvia Sessions. And they're both married. Do you understand that? They're both married. Then on her deathbed, Sylvia, who is the daughter to Patty, tells her daughter, Josephine. Now, why would her name be Josephine? Wow, how about that? Joseph Smith married Patty Sessions on February 8th, 1842. And how can anybody describe this, brothers and sisters? How can you defend this? The mother is telling the daughter on her deathbed, "The last thing I want to tell you is Joseph Smith is your father." Now, that is a sworn affidavit from a young lady by the name of Josephine Rosetta Sessions. That is the daughter of a lady who Joseph Smith married, and he married her mother as well. Brothers and sisters, you got to understand, this is nasty stuff, just nasty. How about the mother of six? Priscinda Huntington was already married, a mother of six, meets Joseph Smith in 1840. In 1841, on December 11th, he marries her as well, and her brother does the ceremony. But he tells the family that this is a dynastic marriage. Now, you've heard this from Bob, you've heard this from Tim, you've heard this from the church, but they say it was a dynastic marriage. That means that the entire family was saved. There's no such doctrine on the planet like that. Have you ever heard of that, brothers and sisters?
That is definitely not in the Bible, because you are saved through your belief in Jesus Christ alone.
So polygamy was sold as a way to save the entire family. Let's see you defend that next week. Brothers and sisters, in closing, I want to tell you that I do not know everything. In fact, I would say that I don't know much. But what I do know comes from the archives of the church. I do know that all points and testifies to the lies and the deceit and the dishonesty within the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Here is the hard truth. As a member of the Mormon faith, you live in the best possible time to come to know the true restored gospel and Jesus Christ. You can find all the testimonies, all the actions, all the facts about the life of Joseph Smith. And now you have a fundamental reason to do it, because you know more than Emma Smith herself. How is that possible? Now, Emma Smith taught her son, Joseph Smith III, that his wife and his son, they know less than you do. Do you understand that? Do you understand that in 1835, Joseph taught that the dynastic marriage was the sealing function of polygamy? John Taylor, like Bob said, practiced polygamy and taught that they didn't do it. And the beauty of this is, in 1900, Joseph Smith III and Joseph F. Smith of the church, these are cousins. I don't know if you understand your church history. Joseph Smith III is the son of Joseph Smith, and Joseph F. Smith is the son of Hiram. So these are cousins, and they are fighting about who started polygamy. That's why we have the testimony from these women. These documents show that they lied about the foundation of the church. Can you understand that? You have been taught in the temple, brothers and sisters, that intelligence is the glory of God, and then you run and hide from the truth, despite every word and action of your own prophets to read it, to study it. If you continue on this path of self-inflicted arrogance within this amazing age of enlightenment and accountability, brothers and sisters, you are going to go to hell, and you're taking your family with you. We ask you to look at the church doctrine, look at the church documents and scriptures. It's on your shoulder now to act. I hope it's in your heart to save your children from deception. God bless you. We really do love you.
For more information about Mainstream Mormonism, a production of Witnesses for Jesus, visit online at leebaker.4mormon.org. That's leebaker.4mormon.org.